Hello and welcome to Pancreas Pals. I'm Emily. In this season, we will be having a rotating roster of co-hosts. No matter who's sitting beside me in the hosting chair, we're still just two people trying to live our best diabetic lives. Every week, we'll tackle a new topic from the diabetic perspective. Although we may offer tips and tricks, we are not medical professionals. However, we offer anecdotes and general thoughts on how to embrace a type 1 lifestyle on your own terms. It's not easy to do with all of the literal highs and lows, but it does help to have a pancreas pal to turn to. Hey guys, welcome to Pancreas Pals. Emily here, and this week's special co-host is JDRF YLC Vice President and my special friend. That sounds creepy. I regret that already. Alex Seaman. Hey Alex, welcome.
Hi Em.
And this week's guests, we have mother-daughter diabetic duo. You might know Sarah from her really dope Instagram account called The Diabetic Cactus, and her mother, who also makes many an appearance on her. Actually, you have a whole highlight, correct, Sarah? Anyways, her mother's name is Ellen, yeah. And she has her own identity, and that was bad. So really, Sarah is Ellen's daughter, so we can refer to Sarah as that from now on. Welcome, guys. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, sure.
Glad that we got here. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about, at the beginning, Ellen, with you and your diagnosis story, if you'd care to share, because that was a different time.
It was a long time ago.
Not that long, thanks. I'm sure.
Well, I was diagnosed right before my 12th birthday, and the typical symptoms, you know, peeing all the time, thirsty, so my mom took me to the doctor, and he pretty easily figured out what was going on, and I was put in the hospital and started on shots.
Fun kind of shots, too. That's the worst.
Yeah, you know, I remember practicing on an orange, you know, and
before they had the roof, was it Rufus the Bear that now they practice on?
They didn't have the bear. Yeah.
You really missed out on that.
Emily, did you get one? No.
No.
Yeah. Totally weird.
My diagnosis story.
Well,
go back
older.
To season
you're
one.
Old
yeah. I'm an old, yeah. An old diagnosis. Season one, episode one. Shout out. So then, you know, fast forward to you being blessed with a hilarious daughter.
Yes.
And, you know, yes, she shall not be named. So can you tell us a little bit about her diagnosis from your perspective? Because I'm sure you noticed the signs pretty quickly or something of that regard.
Yeah, it was funny, you know, as soon as Sarah was born, everybody said, oh, she looks just like you. She's mini Ellen. And
God.
I was sensitive to the fact that, yeah, she may inherit this tendency towards diabetes or whatever it is we inherit. And so I was sort of always, it was in the back of my mind, you know, what if she starts showing symptoms? So, you know, lo and behold, she's six, and I think she started to get up at night to go to the bathroom. And I said to her dad, I said, let's just check her blood sugar. But we didn't even want to check her sugar, you know, like do a finger stick, because we thought that'd be too traumatic. So I'm actually a family doctor. So we got Sarah to pee in a cup and, you know, tested her urine at work. And, you know, it's 4+ glucose. So then we checked her sugar, and I think it was like 400. It wasn't crazy. And Sarah was otherwise completely acting normally, you know? She wasn't super sick.
I still do if my blood sugar is like
yeah,
super
but
high.
She was not, you know, she never got into DKA or, you know, wasn't like she was losing weight. So no other symptoms really. So yeah, so I wound up calling our pediatrician, it was a weekend I think, and said, you know, this is really weird, but I just found out my daughter's diabetic. Usually it's the doctor telling you, not you telling the doctor. I said, like, what should we do? I mean, should I take her to the hospital? She's really not sick. So anyway, we wound up going up to Hershey Medical Center, which was close to us. And Yeah, they admitted her and, you know, did the whole teaching and blah, blah, blah.
Honestly, the most casual slide into diabetes I think I've ever heard.
Yeah. Really?
I would always say, like, I have the least dramatic diagnosis story of anyone, I think. Like, oh, it was just noticed one day and, like, that was it.
Well, yeah, and, you know, we felt so odd. I mean, I felt so odd because, you know, Hershey Medical Center is this big tertiary care medical center, and the kids there are really sick. You know, and we get off the elevator, we walk in, and they're looking at us, and I'm like, yeah, we're here to be admitted.
They're like
who? Like, you know, and there's Sarah jumping around, you know, acting like a normal kid. So, yeah, it was a little bizarre. Yeah. But she, like, thank goodness she never got real sick, so.
Yeah,
I mean, was happy with that. Yeah.
You definitely caught it super early, which is great. Actually,
yeah.
Alex, I don't think we've ever talked about your diagnosis story either.
No, because
this
is
your first time on the podcast. So why would anyone else know that? So why don't we just go around in a circle now and share?
Sure. So mine was actually pretty similar. I mean, not with, you know, my mom had no idea what was going on, but it was also pretty non-dramatic. I was actually diagnosed the day after my mom's birthday in 2000. I was in third grade, and my dad had thrown my mom a surprise party the night before, and they noticed for, you know, a couple of weeks that I was, I did have some of those more classic symptoms. I'd lost a ton of weight, was eating a ton, thirsty, going to the bathroom, all the things, but, you know, unlike Ellen, my parents had no idea what that meant. They just knew something was wrong. So the day after my mom's birthday, we went to my pediatrician, and he just said, you know, you have diabetes. And my blood sugar was actually only 250. So it was very, very not dramatic. I never was admitted to the hospital. And we had a very good family friend who was my age, and she had type 1 since she was 18 months old. So we never really, you know, knew that much about it. So after calling my dad, the first person my mom called was our friend. Shout out to Ellie Felbaum, if you're listening, and her mom, Kelly, and the whole fam. They're the best. And, yeah, they kind of helped walk us through it. My grandmother's husband, my grandfather passed, had type 2, but, you know, very different. So that was kind of it. I think it was very, I remember asking the doctor, am I going to die? And him just kind of being very non-feeling and, you know, just continuing to tell my mom, you know, she needs, here's someone you should call. She's going to start taking shots. And I just remember saying over and over, am I going to die? My mom says, just
it's
please.
So scary
so
as a
scary.
Kid.
And yeah, I had no idea what this means. And my mom finally says, can you answer her? And he finally, like, and she's probably like, I don't know. Like, what is diabetes? Like, maybe she is. Like, I have no idea. And she's crying. And he finally says, you know, no, but this is not good.
Your life is going to change forever.
Your life is over as you know it. And, you know, I didn't go to, I remember I was, you know, it was in February. I was supposed to have a Valentine's Day tea party. With some girls from my class, and
that's so cute.
I know it's so not me, and it's so my mom. Love you, Faye. she loves tea parties. I have a collection of teapots that I still have no idea what to do with.
You love tea, so that makes sense.
I do love tea, but not so much on the tea party. She loves the royal wedding. She loves it all. She loves tea. So, but we had to cancel the tea party. You should. but all the girls in my class came over. I remember, and you know, brought me. Things and my cousin, who's my age and my best friend, brought me. Remember, I still have it. We still talk about it all the time. A lucky pencil. It was like a pencil that was like 2 inches long. She probably found in her, you know, parents' kitchen. But yeah, that's the story. Pretty empathetic.
Okay. Well, everyone has like me. Since I was diagnosed as an adult, it's like me having a panic attack was basically it. So it's pretty different, but it, you know. Everyone's got their own story for type 1 for sure. So how, back to Ellen and Sarah, the duo over here, how how has your management, you know, kind of not been affected, because I guess you wouldn't know any other way. But Ellen, since you've had it, you know, for longer, and you're also her mother, do you ever, you know, want her to be on the same thing as you? How does that work?
Well, you know, I just want to touch quickly on the on what Alex was saying about how her mom handled it, or how the doctor handled it.
Yeah, of course.
I remember, you know, we were signing out of the doctor's office, and we were going to go to the hospital then, and I think that doctor and my mom had talked, like, in his office without me. And we were standing there, and I noticed my mom was, like, had tears on her face. Mm-hmm. Like, she was really looking upset, which wasn't her. And I sort of, like, I was like, oh, why is she crying? Like, because I felt pretty much normal, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't feel sick. And then I think, you know, she was worried that my life was going to be much shorter and that I, you know, never grow up or something like that. No, she didn't tell me that at the time. But, you know, and all we had for testing blood sugar at that time, well, we didn't have anything to test blood sugar. All we had was things to test your urine. And we all know that that's, you know, worthless as far as managing your diabetes, you know. It doesn't tell you anything. So, you know, so when Sarah was diagnosed, I was on a pump already. I had gotten a pump soon after Sarah was born, actually. Pumps started coming out a little before she was born, but I know my OB didn't want me to get on a pump. They were kind of unknown. He didn't want me to get on the pump while I was pregnant.
Right.
Or just before I was pregnant, because I had kind of gotten myself in really good shape for pregnancy. You know, like they tell you, get your blood sugar controlled, you know, to prevent bad things from happening. So I had done that, and so he's like, yeah, let's not start a pump now and, you know, mess things up. So I had been on the pump a while when Sarah was diagnosed, but at that point they weren't starting little kids on pumps, you know, that young. I know nowadays they put infants, you know, toddlers on pumps, just because they're actually easier to, I think, manage with kids that may or may not eat everything you gave them, and mm-hmm. you know, all of that. So yeah, we did the shots, and we sort of didn't make that big a deal of it. Her nurse at school was really awesome, so I felt like she was in good hands there.
I loved her.
She was.
I was so sad when I left elementary school.
She was, yeah, because you
like,
were
I can't
like,
take you with me.
You were like in pre-K at that, or K+. You were in K+.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so you had all those years with Mrs. Moritz. Shout out to Ms. Moritz. Yeah,
we love shout outs
she was,
here.
Oh, she was she was so awesome. I just felt so comfortable with her. She had a lot of experience just mm-hmm. in general, and she was just kind of calm and laid back. And she was like, "Yeah, whatever we do, you know." She called me a lot, which was fine. And you know, if she had any questions,
she knew when I would lie to get.
Oh my
out
God,
of
I was just, yeah.
That
so
my blood sugar was low.
Yeah, Sarah, you know, Sarah was buds with her, so uh-huh. They visited often, I think. But yeah, I never really, you know, I told Sarah this the other day. I think one of the things that my pediatrician told my mom, like that day in the office when she was all upset, was, you know, let her be a kid. I was, mm-hmm. you know, so I was almost 12. Let her be a kid, you know, and there wasn't much to micromanage from my mom's point of view anyway, you know?
Right.
I mean, she's like, did you check your urine? Yeah, did you take your insulin? That was about all she could get on me to do, you know?
I have a quick question about the urine testing. For, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are not as aware of the older ways of testing sugars.
Really
and,
old ways, yes.
Okay, no, okay, there's no nice way for you to, like, you are not old, you are a strong, beautiful, confident woman, but...
Well, thank you.
We're talking different...
I have a lot of experience.
Yeah, let's go with that. Your wisdom,
right.
And just a little bit about how that worked. So, like, I know it's a different type of test, obviously, because you're not finger sticking, and they didn't have, like, at-home finger pricks.
Right.
So
they didn't have glucometers.
Right. So you were just like you'd constantly. I mean, you'd check once or twice a day. What is that?
How? Yeah. Well, it was before meals, you know. So the insulins, the main insulins at those times were like NPH and regular. You know, an NPH is an insulin, and you would take them both in the same syringe, which was kind of nice. So it was usually two shots a day. So the NPH sort of peaks, like if you take it in the morning, it peaks around lunchtime. So the NPH you would take to cover your lunch.
Right.
The regular is almost, you know, like regular today. Not the short-acting stuff, but it has
it's like Lantus or a...
No, it would cover, like, your breakfast.
Okay.
So if you took a shot in the morning, it would cover your breakfast and your lunch. Now, the problem was, you know, the amount of NPH you took in the morning, you had to think you knew what you were eating for lunch to cover that.
Oh, God.
And you had to eat, like, when the insulin was peaking. And when you think about that, that's very difficult to do.
For anyone, yeah. especially a 12-year-old.
Right. And I mean, as a kid, you know, you had your lunch at the same time. So, but still, if you, in junior high, if you had lunch a little bit later, took your insulin in the morning, your lunch is peaking, you're in, like, chem lab or something, you know?
Like, that sounds like a story.
Yeah. So, but the urine test, all you would do is, so you would check your urine usually before you would take your insulin. And it was either no sugar in the urine, you know, 1+, 2+, 3+. But you're the way your body works is your, you know, if your sugar's high, it will spill into the urine.
Right.
But it could have been high 4 days ago, not 4 days ago, 4 hours ago, you know, overnight, and you're just getting up to pee now, so it doesn't reflect your sugar now.
Oh, that's terrifying.
It reflects it from the last time you peed. And it's so it's not worth very much.
And how did you know about lows? Was no sugar low or?
No sugar.
How do you know?
No sugar was
no sugar
good.
Is good. So then how do you know if
you're
low?
If you feel low.
That's the only
all
way.
All symptoms.
Wow.
All symptoms, yeah.
Wow, I can't even feel half my lows, so I can't imagine.
Right.
That
right, so.
Certainly explains a lot. And then you come to today where you and Sarah are both on pumps. Do you both have CGMs?
Yes.
Do you guys share with each other?
We do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and we call each other.
I love
That's
that.
So great.
But also, I feel like I would kill my mother if she... So, like, my mom has mine, obviously, because I am living in, I'd say, almost 1,500 miles from home. And shout out to Jacksonville, Florida. I should probably make it back at some point.
Mom, don't get any ideas if you're listening to this. My mom and I do not share.
That's true. No, Alex, you're very on top of it, and you've had it a lot longer than I have. So
true.
For me, sharing my numbers is a good peace of mind for my parents who are also learning about this disease, and they have taken it so well. Like, honestly, listening to, you know, Alan and Sarah and Alex, you and your mom, your stories of diagnosis, my mom was sitting with me. I was 20 years old and she was still crying. Like, we were both crying. Yes, I had a bad doctor at the time who also had terrible bedside manner, and this could have been caught a year before, which is like a whole different story in itself. But it's, you know, you're crying for the unknown for us, and you're crying for
Absolutely.
The loss of what could have been.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so heartbreaking to see your mother cry. I think that's
the scariest
It's the scariest thing, and because they're crying, it's not, obviously it's not something you did, but it has to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And as, I can't imagine as a kid, you know, Ellen and Alex having to see your mother cry over something like that, because I was 20 years old and I was able to sit next to my mom and be like, Mom, I'm gonna be okay. And she's like, why are you comforting me? And I'm like, this is definitely like a tribute to me as a human, but like, I just am always like worried about what other people are feeling and doing. And she's like, this is your life, and they have really just absorbed everything that has to do with type 1. So I share in an effort to educate and peace of mind for them.
Yeah.
So it must be really cool to like check your phone, Sarah, and be like, oh, hey, Mom, what did you have for dinner? Like,
we often, Sarah tends to run low a fair amount. So, if I see like 50 and like even a trending down arrow, I just text her, you okay? She says yes, and that's all.
Aww.
Well, I remember the first time, like the first night I had this GM, I like made my blood sugar go low to see if it worked, because she was getting hers like a week later.
Anyway.
So I that's so bad. I made it go lower. And
for
then
our listeners,
like,
do not do that, please, and thank you.
No.
She texted me. She's like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I just want to see if it
works.
Oh,
my God.
She's like, what is wrong with you?
Okay.
But, it's funny because I think, when I was diagnosed, my mom knew nothing about diabetes. And, you didn't, hear about type 1 diabetes. The only things you heard were, horror stories.
Right.
It would have been 1972. So, on the other hand, when I found out that Sarah was diabetic, here it was, I had been living with diabetes for 20, 25 years. I knew it well. I knew what she was getting in for. And I was like, this is all right, we can manage this. This is because I had done it. Now, her dad, unfortunately, didn't have that experience. He knew from me.
Or fortunately.
But he had no idea. So sometimes he was like, well, what about her blood sugar? I'm like, ah, don't worry about it. She'll be fine, mm-hmm. And because that was my experience, and pretty much, neither of us, and I should knock on wood as I say this, but neither of us are really, prone to DKA. I know there are some people with diabetes who, it happens mm-hmm. real easily. But
yeah.
We are not, neither of us is super brittle that way. Mm-hmm. So I was sort of, I know what she's gonna have to deal with. I've lived with it, I've survived it, or continued to survive it, manage it, whatever. And nowadays there's even more people that you can look around and say, oh yeah, well that person has diabetes, actors,
Nick Jonas.
Right.
I was just going
to
say shout out to Nick Jonas.
And you see these, it's sort of it's not the scariest thing, at least for me.
It's not.
And I also,
I have a question.
It's not
I know my perspective is very different.
Sarah, obviously you were very young when you were diagnosed, but how much did you know kind of at that point, or growing up, about what your mom had sort of had to deal with? And do you think that made it less scary for you? Did it seem kind of normal, or how much were you aware?
I don't think I knew anything about it. I mean, I never, I don't remember being diagnosed. I hardly remember anything before that. I don't know why. But I don't remember, knowing what it was. It just, I feel like from my perspective, it just happened and I just started dealing with it. And it wasn't, a big thing. It wasn't
You were
a
also
big
6 years
issue.
Old, right?
Yeah. Just,
So that's...
Yeah, I was more just like, oh, okay, here we go. And that's how I handle most things now. So maybe it's just, in my nature to do stuff like that. Just be like, all right, let's just deal with it,
100%.
Well, Sarah, I don't remember you having, a big objection to, us pricking your sugar or pricking mm-hmm. your finger for sugars or giving you shots, And I think it was sort of a couple times maybe I said, oh, look,
Mommy's
going to
do
this
too.
Yeah.
But I don't remember seeing you check your blood sugar before or changing your pump. I have maybe the only thing, and maybe it's because you're a doctor too, but I may have gotten your beeper confused with your insulin pump.
Right.
When you had the two side by side, but
I
was never what's
I
going
didn't,
on?
Talk about it a lot. You were little.
Not to minimize anyone's struggles here, but Sarah, you lucked out. Your mom not only is a doctor,
she
also has type 1. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Diane, my mother, if you're listening,
any
you're a star.
Thing.
Don't worry. I love you. You're great. But damn, that is quite the, that's
I like to joke around and say the knowledge of a doctor transferred through the womb, and now I'm essentially a doctor as well.
I mean, truly.
I was saying that the other day. My mom was like, stop.
My sisters and brother do the same thing. They all think
That's amazing. But we, Alex, you're right. I think when you have type 1 diabetes, you do, you're so in tune with numbers and in your body and everything. Even if you can't feel highs and lows or something like that, you still understand at a basic level the way that, you know, insulin as a hormone works. And it's so interesting. I feel like I have so much knowledge. And then I have friends in med school and I'm like, oh, crap, I know nothing. But it's like, it's still...
You know way more than they do about diabetes, I will tell you that.
That I do believe. Yeah, sorry, sorry, fam. I mean, it's really disheartening at times to know that there are so many, like, nurses, and this is mostly, like, I mean, I think I just had a stroke. I can't speak.
it's amazing how
we have a doctor on the line.
So true, so true.
I'm amazed constantly at how little people know about type 1 diabetes.
And so true. Exactly.
In the medical profession.
Yes.
In the medical profession. And I'm not sure why that is. There's so much, I think there's so much attention.
There's a lot of,
chronic illnesses to type 2.
Exactly. And it's just so interesting, though.
But people don't realize every little thing you do affects your sugar.
Yeah.
They just don't.
I mean, like,
that.
I was at the dentist the other day, and my blood sugar was kind of going down as I was going in there because I had cavities. Sorry. I was telling the, like, helper, I don't know what you call them. I was like, hey, like, I don't know if I should drink a juice. I know you're
hygienist,
about to, like,
yeah,
go in on my teeth. Yeah. And she then told the dentist, she's like, oh, her insulin is low. She doesn't know what to do.
That is not what I said.
That's not what's going on. And that's not, like, that's not what's happening. I just didn't know if I should drink a juice. And my blood sugar is
low.
I was like, and I called my mom, and I was like, what the fuck?
Also, the dentist is not going to know. You know, it's like wrong.
Right.
Like, no one's going to, that is so aggravating. Yeah. I hate stuff like that.
I was just like, no, that's not what's going on.
Oh, my God.
Well, and I have said, you know, for years, I used to teach in a residency program, you know, family medicine residents, and I would say to my, you know, cohorts, I wish I could make all doctors go through one hypoglycemic episode just so they know what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Because people think, oh yeah, you know, just have this person crank up their insulin. I'm like, what if they go low? Oh, that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
You know what I did hear yesterday, though? Apparently, they have, like, low goggles. Like, as a, like, similar
to...
They
have, like, the migraine goggles,
drinking.
Too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but, I mean,
so,
you know, just that...
opposite, but...
That discomfort of a low, because, you know, I mean, that drives a lot of people not to go low and to leave their blood sugars
higher. Yeah, my doctors yell at me all the time about it, because I like to sit at, like, 150 as opposed to being, like... you know, 100, but I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I've only had it for 4 years and I'm still figuring my life out. But that's not to say, I mean, I don't, when I say 150, that means that's like my target sometimes. So that means I'm sitting at 180, which is not great.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm done. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I mean, you can, and maybe this is just my experience with diabetes, but you can spend your life trying to keep your blood sugar perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think at some point it takes up too much of your attention, you know? Because there are so many things that affect it. If you're spending all your time doing that, you're not living your life. You know what I mean?
And 100%.
And there are more tools now than ever, which is absolutely amazing and awesome to keep it there. But it's still, you still got to live your life, and you still got to, you know, go out and do things if you've never done, and you're not going to be able to plan for it. And so, yeah, you run high, you run low, you know.
Take it one day at a time.
Yes, absolutely.
100%.
And and, you know, you need a little, I mean, I was always have felt that, you know, I need a little cushion on that blood sugar, because it's going to do stuff that, I'm not, you know, I didn't expect it to.
And look at you. You had a, you know, successful pregnancy. You are a doctor. You have, like, a full-time, you know, like, you...
She's, like, the definition of a diabetic ass.
Truly.
Like,
wait, that might have to be the name of the name of the episode.
Yeah.
She's a definition of a diabetic ass.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Find it on iTunes.
Dr. Diabadass.
Oh,
there we go.
Ellen coming in with the one-liners. Dang.
Dr. Diabadass.
Well, I feel like I could talk to you guys all day. I definitely want to have you back on the show. Sarah, I want to talk specifically another time about your Instagram and all the fun things you do with, with the diabetic cactus.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, let's... I think we're going to have to wrap up, but I'm sad to say that. Alex, did you have any last questions?
No, y'all are an inspiration.
Truly.
Yeah.
Oh,
soft,
thank you.
It's amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Mother-daughter bond to the
thank
next
you.
Level.
I know. Oh my God. Everyone's like, I feel like I could just hug my computer right now.
Yeah, I'm going to call my mom now.
Oh my God, I should call Diane too.
Yeah.
I should not call her Diane.
Mom, I'll call you.
Okay.
Sarah's like, Mom, I just called you. I'm talking to you right now.
That's right.
Oh my God. Well, follow Sarah on Instagram at the Diabetic Cactus. Follow Alex. You want to give yourself a little plug there? Because I love following you for great content.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, mine, it's Baby Al, but the A, no A, BBY underscore AL. Yeah,
because that's her. And follow us on Instagram at pancreas underscore pals, and follow us on Facebook at pancreas pals pp. And we are still going strong, season 4, exciting times. You will be hearing more from Alex as my guest co-host, and it's been a fun time, guys. Have a great rest of your week, great Sunday, and yeah, keep let the good shugs roll, as Libby Russell would say. I don't know why I ended on that. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, you guys. Bye.